The Old Testament reading for the Festival of Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a rather interesting text that we have this morning for Trinity Sunday, John chapter 3. And at first glance, as I was preparing for this Sunday, I kind of wanted to pick a different text. But then I noticed, as I was reading through the Gospel of John chapter 3, that we see, or we hear, actually, more accurately, that is, we do hear one God, three persons in our text this morning. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in that text, right? We have the Father sending his Son. And of course, we have the Son being lifted up on the cross as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. We have the Son of God lifted up, accomplishing man's salvation on the cross. And we also then hear of the Spirit's work in our gospel lesson, combined with the water, of course, that is holy baptism, right? Giving us new life, giving us faith, dwelling in and with sinners, bringing sinners to repentance and faith in the kingdom of God. So we do have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three there, one God, now and forever, working. Working for us, to save us, and to redeem us. Now, I suppose I'm going to bring in another text at this point, but that's okay, I can do that. I want you to remember the word that was spoken to you at your baptism. This, of course, is Matthew 28, verse 19, where your name was spoken at the font, your name, followed by these words the pastor would have said, I baptize you in, or the word there can be into, that's the way I would take it, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then also you heard these words, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You see, as we celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday this morning, I want you to take comfort that this is the name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is the name that has been placed upon you in the waters of holy baptism, and this is the name into which you have been brought into. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a tattoo, you could say, or even a branding on you, or a stamp that God has placed upon you, far deeper than the skin, of course. But this is, God has sealed you. He has marked you as belonging to him, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's nothing greater in all the universe than that. So while the world continues to fumble around, confused about their identity, what that even means, you, dear Christians, know your identity. And it is solid. It is a solid rock identity. There is no doubt about who you are and what defines you. Because ultimately, your identity rests on who you belong to. I'll say it again. Your identity rests on who you belong to. And we see this with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You can tell that there's something not quite right, that something is missing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He's just not getting it, right? just not understanding. Because at this point in John's gospel, Nicodemus is not yet born again. And that word, again, also means from above. Okay? So that is, he is not yet born from above. He is not yet born of the water and the Spirit. Because here's the thing, Scripture is quite clear that all men are corrupt in their nature. All are terminally infected with sin, in full opposition against their Creator, in rebellion against God. That is our human nature that we have inherited from Adam, all of us. And if the sinful flesh, that sinful nature, were to have free reign and rule over us, well, God's order for his creation and the identity that we have within that creation will inevitably be denied, perverted, and rejected. And we will try to replace it with other so-called identities, no matter how ridiculous and insane they might be. You see, all our flesh can do is produce sin and rebellion against God, because it flows from a sinful, rebellious nature. And therefore, it cannot discern the spiritual things of God. That comes right out of 1 Corinthians 2:14. That is where Nicodemus is in our gospel reading. You see, that would be each one of us as well, still to this day, unless God were to step in, turn us away from that sin and that rebellion, redeem and save us. What determines a person's identity is who they belong to. And biblically, there are only two possibilities. You either belong to the devil and sin and its fruit, death, or you are born of the Spirit. You belong to God, righteousness, and life. You're either dead in sin or alive in Christ Jesus, ruled by sin and under the condemnation of the law, or you are ruled by God's grace, free of condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Belonging to Satan or belonging to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two options. Jesus says in our gospel reading, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again or from above. So the physical flesh can only beget flesh. It can only give birth to flesh. It is of no value at all in our salvation. You must be born again. You must be born from above. We also hear this in John chapter 1, where the children of God are said to be, they're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So these words that proceed from the mouth of the Lord prove that you cannot choose your identity. Just as nonsensical as it would be for a human being to identify as an animal, or whatever. And this is where we're at, right? This is where we're at. Just as nonsensical as that is, it is equally nonsensical that a dead, fleshly sinner, a human being, is to identify as a child of God or choose to become a child of God. Just as you didn't decide to be physically born, you don't decide to be spiritually born from above either. Faith and new life must be given. It must be given to you. It must be given from above. Only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can perform such a miraculous feat as to save sinners like us. Jesus says this. He says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It is God. It is God alone who does this. He must act. He must step into our sinful condition, free us from our rebellion and sin, and redeem and save us. And he has. And he has in a big way. John 3:16 is part of our gospel reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, the Father, the first person of the Holy Trinity, loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, into our miserable, corrupt, sinful condition in order to redeem and save us. The second person, the Son, loves us so much that he willingly and joyfully became one of us. For the glory and the joy that was set before him, he was lifted up on the cross for our salvation. True God, true man, Jesus Christ purchased and won you from all sin, death, and the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that you may be his own, belong to him, that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Hopefully those words ring in your ears and you respond, this is most certainly true. And the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, loves us so much that he refuses to leave us in that sinful state, that sinful condition, that rebellion that we are in. The Holy Spirit comes through the water, the Word, combines himself with the water, as Christ says in our gospel, in order to give you life, to bring you into the kingdom. And he points us then to Christ, lifted up, crucified for your sins. And we heard last week how he does this, through the means that God himself has chosen, through the Word and sacraments. See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love you, and they hold nothing back. They give it all to you. God, in three persons, united together in perfect love, has graciously brought you in. He has brought you in and he has made you his own. God has united himself to you and you to him. You're baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has given you full status as sons, and you shall inherit the kingdom of God, which of course is heaven and eternal life. It's all yours. What ultimately defines you, what ultimately is your identity, depends upon who you belong to. And you belong to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, our Lord said to Nicodemus. It follows then, the one who is born of the water and the Spirit has entered into the kingdom of God, as Nicodemus clearly did by the end of John's gospel. Through the water and the Spirit, you now belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a beloved child of God. You are united to Christ's death and resurrection. You are forgiven. You are robed in Christ's righteousness. The Spirit of God dwells with you and in you. He has given you the saving faith in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the treasures of the kingdom of heaven are yours. All who believe and are baptized shall be saved. That's you. That's your identity. Your identity rests ultimately and finally on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Believe it. You have God's word on that. Now, this goes for all of us, but especially and in particular for our graduates this morning. My message to you is very simple. Remember who you belong to. Remember who you belong to. As you go out into the world, whatever you may face, and many of us know this very well, you'll face ups, downs, plenty, hardship, joys, sorrows, the whole gamut. Remember who you belong to. You are baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and nothing can change that. Your identity is rock solid. You are united with Christ's death and resurrection. He purchased and won you to make you his own. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. You are a beloved child of God. You are redeemed by Christ, your crucified and risen Savior. That is your identity now and always. That is the only identity in your life that will ever matter for all of eternity. Remember who you belong to. So now, we joyfully and we confidently are going to stand and confess our faith in the one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has saved us. In the name of Jesus, amen.